Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Respond to that. This morning, the message is entitled, Right Response. We're in our service, a series of messages called Spiritual Strength Training. And as a quick recap, the first one was called Ready, Willing, and Able. We're all in a battle in life. And if you're not experiencing that now, you know you have in the past and you will again in the future. How do we become strong to deal with the pressures and the threats that come to us? The next week we talked about the true battle. The real battle is never against other people. People are never the enemy. The battle is spiritual, and our means to even begin to approach that is prayer. That there's stuff going on behind the scenes. We need to engage at that level before we engage in other levels. Following week, we talked about properly sustained, the importance, as Brenda just shared in her message, to be fed by Scripture, that God's words give us life, they nourish us to make us strong. Last week, we talked about you are here, understanding our perspective of place. We're not down here. God sees us up there. That's our starting point. And so it's not an uphill battle. It's a dealing with things from the place of victory. And today, as I said, our message is entitled Right Response. I had a sort of a disturbing revelation about 10, 15 years ago that there was a thing called pet insurance. It's health insurance for pets. And I'm thinking, like, with all the issues in the world, really? That's a thing? There are children that go hungry every day. There's all kinds of diseases, and people are buying insurance for their pet. And then our cat got sick, and I brought him to the vet, and now I understand why there's pet health insurance, because it cost me a fortune out of pocket. I heard somebody was talking about how we take care of ourselves. And the according to the American Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 20% of prescriptions given to people are never filled. And of the ones that are, as many as 50% are not followed properly. We take care of our pets better than we take care of ourselves. I mean, there may be reasons for that. But why? One local healthcare provider, just in this past week, said this: one of the most difficult healthcare issues is compliance. I'm not just talking about pills and medications, but when the doctor says you need to change your diet, you need to change your physical exercise regime, you need to deal with your stress, we just don't do these things. And the same is true spiritually. How do we respond when God speaks to us, when we encounter his presence? How do we respond? Have you ever read something confusing or seemingly contradictory in the Bible? No, just me. Okay, so we're doing this series on going through Colossians, and I came across something just this past week, and I was confused about it. I actually prayed about it, and I'm going to share a little bit about it. I will say that before the service is done, you are always welcome to text me with a relevant comment or question, and if we have time, I'll take those publicly. I've already got a couple. So here's the confusion. Last week, we finished off at the beginning of Colossians 3, where you're seated with Christ in the highest place, right? So set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And then the very next passage goes on to Colossians 3, verses 5 to 10, and part of it is going to be on the screen, not the whole thing because it won't fit, but just follow along. You can follow along in whatever digital or paper Bible you have, and I'm just going to read it. Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, the life which you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. So we talked a little bit about that putting on and putting off last week. Okay, here's where my dilemma was. Because last week, we talked a little bit about the chapter before, Colossians 2, 20 to 23. It says, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. I love this part. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So Paul is saying here to this new church, he's trying to build it in its understanding and strength to bring it to maturity, and he says, don't follow these useless rules. And then he goes on later on and says, now here's all the things you have to do. Isn't that a contradiction? It seems that way to me. So I prayed about that and then took a shower.
You ever have shower thoughts? Okay. What I have here is a ruler, okay? A ruler is used as a guide and to measure. And what I have over here is a really nice straight piece of wood. Except that if you put the ruler up to the wood, I don't know if you can see this, it's not straight. Can you see that, or is it too small? I see a whole bunch of blank looks. Okay, great, you're awake with me here. It's a bent piece of wood that's revealed to be bent by the ruler. The ruler, I don't know if you noticed, but the root of the word ruler is rule, which it means something like a standard, something that is straight by which you measure other things. The ruler shows you that the wood is bent. You know what the ruler does not do? Doesn't straighten the wood. You don't use a ruler to straighten the wood. You use it to tell you that it's bent, and you have to either steam it and bend it, or more drastically, you have to plane it and sand it to make it straight. The rules don't make you straight. They just reveal what's bent and what's crooked. You can follow rules, but now what you're doing is you're exerting some kind of effort to conform to that standard, and what we realize is that this doesn't work. I shared a story in the previous service about there was a hotel in Spain that had a restaurant on the bottom level that jutted out from the hotel, and it was covered with glass. And they had posted signs in all the hotel rooms that were on the water side where the restaurant faced, and they said, please do not fish off the balconies, because people would fish off the balconies, and the lure, if they missed, would hit the glass and break the glass. And they didn't know what to do, because people kept on doing it. They posted signs. People kept on doing it. They finally solved the problem. You know how they solved the problem? They took the signs down, because other than the sign, nobody would ever think of fishing off the balcony. We see rules, we come across rules, and our first instinct is, how can I butt up against that rule? How can I get as close as possible? How can I get away with breaking it? How can I find a way around it? That's our human nature, because our very insides are bent and crooked. It's our natural default. Rules don't work. I was having quite a few conversations with a young adult in our church quite a few years ago, and it seemed like every time we met, he would always be asking about specific behaviors. What can I get away with without threatening my eternity? I'm thinking, like, that's not what it's about. But he just couldn't get past that, okay, what are the rules and what can I get away with? Imagine a wedding ceremony, okay? Maybe you're married, maybe you're going to be, maybe you're not. But imagine a wedding ceremony where you go through all the vows and there's these promises that are made to one another and expectations, and people go through the rules. And then at the end, somebody says, okay, so what can I get away with? Like, in this relationship, what can I get away with? Where's the line? How close can I get to that line? I mean, to some extent, you know, attraction is beyond our control. You be attracted to somebody and you go, okay, I'm forsaking all others, but if I'm attracted to somebody, how far can I go? How long do you think that relationship would last? It wouldn't. Because in relationship, you're not looking around to the boundaries so far you can get them. You should be looking toward one another. That's how relationships work. We're talking about becoming spiritually strong. Paul says, put on your new nature. How do you do that? You don't do it with rules. It's about a relationship, but there is a prescription. Okay, there's a prescription to fill and to follow. Now, the fill is to be filled with God. He offers his spirit to us. When you become a follower of Jesus, you put your faith, you put your trust, you give him your allegiance, and he plants his spirit in you, and we have the ability to allow his influence to fill our life, to allow his love to fill our life, and I'm going to explain why that's important. And then we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We fill, we become filled, and we follow. In a word, that's humble obedience. Okay, that's two words, humble obedience. That's the right response. Why do we need to do that? Because God wants you to be strong. We do that, we fill and follow this prescription because God wants you to be strong, but we struggle with that because, like most people in our culture, we don't always fill and follow our prescriptions. So here's some reasons why. First is because we value our autonomy too highly. Now, human autonomy is a very, very important value. We've seen all kinds of things go wrong when that autonomy is overcome or given up. I mean, history is filled with people who have had their autonomy removed from them by oppressors, and they're treated horribly. And we understand, with our Judeo-Christian values to some point, that every human being has eternal value made in the image of God. And there's something wrong with somebody's autonomy being completely overcome. That's why we have a problem with slavery. It's just wrong. And, I mean, we lose our autonomy in different contexts. To an extent, there's compromise in a relationship where if you're just exerting your own will all the time, that's not going to work. And then to earn a paycheck, you give up your autonomy for a time. But most of us know that if you're in a job where your boss is dictating your life 24/7, that's wrong. Why? Because we value human autonomy. But how can we value it too high? Here's how we value it too high. When we exert control over ourselves at the expense of the God who created us and loves us, when we say, I'm not going to let you control me, as if we know better than the one who has our best in mind. Now we're only hurting ourselves. The Bible says in quite a few places that God can hide his truth from the arrogant, the ones that think they know better, the ones that want their own way. That if you don't even intend to obey God, then he's not even going to speak to you. He'll tell you what you want to hear. That's a very bad place to hear to be. We value our autonomy too highly. Second thing is we fear the cost. What is it going to cost me to obey God? Sometimes we will approach God and say, okay, I'll obey you, but I want to know what it's going to cost me first, or I want to know what the outcome is going to be first, because we fear that God wants to take away all the joy and peace in your life, all the things that we enjoy, all the things we hold on to. He's going to take away what we want. And sometimes we, in the church, we almost fill people with that fear. I know a lot of parents want, I hope you want your kids to grow up to be strong, and we unintentionally sometimes overprotect them. We prevent them from becoming strong. And the same thing is when we're leading people to follow Jesus, are we giving them a fear to hold back? Like, watch out what God's going to take away from you. It's like the old story, used to hear it a lot. Don't ever say out loud that you don't want to become a missionary to Africa, because if you do, God will make you do that. As if he's spending his time trying to make your life miserable. He's looking, oh, you said that, now I'm gonna make you do that. We fear him. We fear what the cost is going to be. Sometimes we feel ignorant. I don't know enough. It's funny that Brenda shared that about conferences and books, that the knowledge can't replace the experience of knowing God and being grown and strengthened by him. I was reminded of the story of Jesus' birth. Christmas was just a month and a half ago. And there's two versions of the story. You have the Luke version and the Matthew version. In the Luke story, the angels come to these shepherds in a field. They're the first witnesses that come. And shepherds in that culture, it was not a prestigious position. They were basically one level up on day workers. We're not talking about people that own the flock. We're talking about people that are paid to watch the flock, because the owners are not spending the night in the field with them. They would probably have been illiterate. They were not looked highly upon in their culture. The Pharisees had a whole list of people that were considered unclean in general, and shepherds makes that list. They're the ones that are invited to come witness this new baby. In the Matthew version, we have pagan astrologers coming from the east. They travel to Jerusalem. They say, we've seen a sign of this great Messiah, the Savior of the world, and where can we go see him? And the Jewish scholars, the religious scholars, they study their texts, they study their scriptures. They, oh, look, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. So these wise men, they go on to Bethlehem. You know who doesn't go? The Jewish scholars. You'd think if they were convinced to some extent the Messiah was born, you'd go see, but they were too confident and complacent in their knowledge. You do not have to be a genius to follow Jesus. You don't have to be a Bible expert to follow Jesus. You have to be willing to follow Jesus. And sometimes that means being willing to make a mistake, to be humble. So yes, sometimes we get it wrong, but I think the more you do, the more you turn to God and respond to what he's saying in obedience, the more you become familiar with his voice and the greater chance you have to recognize and avoid deception. I think the biggest reason, and it's a reason that underlies the previous three, is because we doubt God's love. We don't obey him because we don't trust him. Do you really love me enough to have my best interests at heart? We're trust deficient. 1 John 5:3 says this, loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Somebody recently said in response to that, said, obedience is a clear echo of our love for God. But if we don't really believe that he loves us, we're going to hold back on our response of obedience, on that right response. God wants to make you strong, but we doubt that he really does. In fact, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago that our higher values, not as high as our autonomy, we value our safety and our comfort so much that we pray to that end. We ask God to remove obstacles. We ask God to remove barriers, to make life easy. And he's saying, no, I want to make you strong. Do you want to be strong? Or do you want to be useless? Spiritual strength comes from responding appropriately to God's direction. God created all of creation, planted Adam and Eve, not planted them, but placed them in a garden that was safe and secure. He never intended them for them to stay in that garden. His purpose for them was to expand the garden into the wilderness, to properly steward the world so that the whole world went from wilderness to garden. There's a mission to accomplish. We respond to God's presence, we respond to his love, and we find ourselves responding in obedience, in worship, and in mission. All three of those things. And God wants to make you strong. Now, here's a warning. It can be challenging, it can be tough, because God will challenge what you want and what you think you need. And when we back away, when we shy away from responding in obedience to him, we stop hearing his voice. We stop sensing his presence. To the point, I believe that can come to the point where you back yourself away from God so far that there's no more moving forward. It's not that God is backing away from you, and he doesn't let go of his people easily. But we can bring ourselves to a place where we are completely numb to God's direction. That's a scary place. It's a scary thing. So how do you start, or how do you move forward? First, accept his transformative love. Be filled. Fill your prescription. Spend quality time with God. Quality implies a certain amount of quantity. As we talked about prayer, scripture, ingest it, spend time with God, but then respond in following. Follow Jesus. Say, yes, I will lay down my will and I will do what you want because I trust you. There are some people here that you might be struggling with big things in your life, career choice. Whether you're already in one or you're looking for one, what is God asking you to do? There may be people here that are in a relationship or pursuing a relationship, and there's correction that needs to be made there. Are you willing to trust God to follow him and do what he wants in this relationship situation? Maybe you have a habit at work, and God is challenging you on it. And you go, well, it doesn't matter. God is challenging you on it. Are you going to respond in faithful, humble obedience? Maybe you're being challenged on the amount of time you spend with him on a daily basis. Maybe you fear the opportunities you'll be giving up. He wants to make you strong in a way that Netflix doesn't want to. He wants to make you strong. Maybe your entertainment choices, the things you are choosing to fill your time with, that God might want to adjust and bring a greater degree of purity into your life. He wants to make you strong. We can continue to navigate through what ends up being tyrannical systems of rules by which we inevitably come to a place of self-righteousness and judge other people because we're all operating with different systems of rules, or we continually beat ourselves up with those rules, or journey through life hand in hand with the God who loves us. We can hide from God in fear or in our own autonomy, or we can grow from strength to strength to live the adventure of furthering God's kingdom. We have the choice between rules, our own choices, or relationship with the Creator who loves you and made you to love you and wants to make you strong. We have a little bit of time left. I'm going to see if we have text messages. Oh, I know we have a couple. The little town with Punxsutawney Phil is called Punxsutawney. Actually, it's not. It's called Gobbler's Knob. Punxsutawney, I believe, is the county that Gobbler's Knob is in. Who would want to live in a town called that? In relation to the message, I feel like a prayer for safety is ultimately out of a distrust in God. Like he's going to forget us if we don't remind him or something. Praying for safety is my cynical Christian pet peeve. That's kind of funny. You know, I came across a quote that really, really bothered me, and I saw it shared on Facebook, and the quote was, there's no safer place to be than the will of God. And I thought, like, that's not true, because God will put you in challenging, sometimes dangerous circumstances. But then I found out where that quote originated. You know where the quote originated? Corrie ten Boom, who survived a concentration camp in World War II. Okay, there's a perspective that changes it. And she says there's no safer place to be than God's will, and she went through hell. Is there a way to find the music from this morning? Yes, there is. I'd love to help you with that, but I can't, so I would email the office or talk to Pastor Wade. Might be able to help you with that. It seems to me the list in Colossians 2 have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use or based on merely human commands and teachings. That's the quote from the verse. They're man-made rules to falsely show how we measure up. Well, in the list in chapter 3 has to do with changing the way we relate to each other in ways that reshape us. Yes, I believe so. And there was a text message similar this morning. Thanks for texting that. That pointed out that the rules are all about, that the first set of rules are all about external behavior. The second chapter is about internal change. There's a difference, right? The first one is about observable physical things, and the second one is about attitudes and behaviors. And those are the things that we really, really struggle with. Okay. A little bit longer. If rules just entice people to break them, what is the benefit of focusing on them? Would our time as Christians better be spent allowing God to tell us who to be, not what to do? Well, yes. Because when you're focused on rules, that's the problem. That's why you don't focus on rules. Paul says, like the whole Old Testament, we have this law that's implemented, which are really the terms of the first covenant that God established with his people. And in the second testament, the New Testament, Paul says in Galatians, that was a temporary guide until we come to maturity. It was temporary. And then in Romans, he says that those rules point out sin, failure, imperfection, but can't do anything about it. And Christ is the fulfillment of that. A couple more. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Yeah, that's from 1 John. Praying that verse to become alive in our heart through the power of his spirit in us is very powerful. When we pray for specific scriptures to become a reality in our flesh, we bring heaven into earth and we align to God's will in prayer. Yeah, in your daily reading, you know, we don't talk about this a lot, but there is value in memorizing scripture. And that may be one to start with. If you want the reference, it was 1 John 5, verses 3. You can jot that down quickly in your phone. We have time for two more. You're either asleep or you're in agreement. Okay, so great. The ones who are still sleeping, we won't wake you up until the end. Trust is linked to obedience. I trust, therefore obey. Reminds me of Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He actually transforms my heart. Yeah, you know what? That verse, that was like, as a young adult, that was my verse. Delight yourself in God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I came to understand that it doesn't mean he will give you what you want, but he will transform your actual desires. And that was it. Well, we got a lot of great Bible responses here. You guys are great. On the topic, that was from last week, I think. A prayer for safety is good. See Psalm 91. Sure. But don't let safety trump God's purpose. Right? I'm not saying never pray for safety. My complaint was safety and ease is what I was always hearing. So God wants to, he wants to transform your life. He wants to make you strong. He wants his community to spread out he wants his kingdom to spread out in our community, in our country, in the world. And we're saying, God, keep us safe. How about God keep us effective, safe when necessary? That's different. Make us effective. Because you can be safe at the expense of effectiveness, and now you're useless in the world. God doesn't want you to be useless. He wants you to be strong. Let's stand. We're going to close the service. And once the service is done, we've turned Theater One here into a prayer room. And there are some of you here that you need to engage with God. And there's something today you might need to say yes to him about, that he may have been challenging you. And there may be somebody here, you're even afraid that God's voice is going numb. And there's something that you know he's challenged you on the past, and you've left it back there. And it's like your foot is in a bear trap. You cannot move forward until that's dealt with. And so I would challenge you this morning, spend some time here, do business with God, and if you have a hard time trusting, if you have a hard time being willing to obey, ask him to show you a greater extent of his love, that he is trustworthy. And what he'll do is he'll lead you forward step by step. Trust me in this and watch what happens. He might take you through a really difficult time, but you come through on the other end and you go, yes, God is trustworthy. And you know what he's going to do then? He's going to take you another step forward because he wants you to be strong. We always encourage people to find at least one person you never met before. We want a place, be a place where nobody walks out without being engaged relationally. Okay, we're here for one another. So find one person you never met, have a meaningful conversation with them. We just ask you to have those conversations in the lobby so this can be a safe place for people to pray and engage with God and do business with him in a place without distraction. But don't walk away from that, because sometimes I think there's, for some people, it could be your last chance. That if you're exerting your autonomy to such an extent, you may not be able to hear God's voice after today. Now is the time to engage with him. Now is the time to say yes. Yes, I'll take a step of trust. Yes, I'll obey that one thing that I've been holding on to, not wanting to make that decision. Yes, I will do that today. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your incredible love. We know it with our head, but Father, I ask you would increase our, not just our intellectual knowledge, but our experiential knowledge. We would know your love. We would know increasingly you love us, you are trustworthy. And that to not participate with you is going to go real bad for us. But that we would trust you enough, even if it means saying no, sacrificing, giving up something that is dear to us or comfortable for us. Father, that we would be willing to take that step forward. That we would be able to see you come through. That you would be faithful. I pray that you would help us to walk forward step by step by step, going from strength to strength. We would participate with you in your desire to make us strong. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.